Hey friend, do you want to offer meaningful learning solutions that create behavior change, fit in the flow of work, and yield real results for your nonprofit? If yes, this is the podcast for you. Join me as I explore instructional design and leadership development best practices, as well as change management, belonging, and influence. If we haven't met yet, I'm Heather, and I've been in your shoes. I'm a learning and development consultant and founder of Skill Masters Market. Before starting my business, I led learning and leadership development initiatives for a large national nonprofit. I know what it's like to need to develop your staff quickly and effectively and to build the relationships and cut through the organizational layers to be successful. And I'm bringing all of that to you in this podcast. So block your calendar, turn off your Teams or Slack chat, and let's dive in. It's learning for good. Pretty much everyone will agree that leadership skills are important. Bad leaders result in staff turnover, miserable workplaces, unattained goals, confusion, chaos, and so much more. So if bad leaders can impact the workplace that much, it makes sense that we want to invest in leadership development. And most of us do. And yet the 2024 HR Trends report shares that only 32% of their survey respondents felt their office workers were highly proficient in leadership skills and competencies. 32%. So what about that other 68%? Well, they just might be your bad leaders. But here's the thing. Most people aren't bad leaders. They just aren't capable and confident in the leadership skills you need them to have. I've worked with nonprofits around the country to define the leadership skills that are important in their workplace, and then to develop those leadership skills through training and leadership development programs. So today, I want to use that experience as we explore why your leaders might be lagging and what we can do about it. Let's dive in. It's Learning for Good, the podcast that helps you go from order taker to strategic partner in your nonprofit. Are your leaders the best they can be? Or are there areas that they are lagging behind a little bit? My guess is you're somewhere in the middle. You probably have leaders who excel and leaders who struggle. And even those who excel probably have room for improvement. So let's talk about why leadership skills might be lagging behind and what we can do about it. The first reason leadership skills might be lagging behind is unclear expectations. One thing that stuck with me early in my career is the statement, "The biggest killer of performance is unclear expectations." People can't meet your expectations if they don't know what they are. Makes sense, right? I won't arrive at your intended destination if you don't tell me what that destination is. Many times, we just haven't made it clear what we want our leaders to do or not do. What does successful leadership look like? What does it feel like? What is it not? So if we find that unclear expectations is the issue, is the barrier, what can we do about it? Well, we set those clear expectations. How do we do that? Competency models are a great place to start. Identify the skills you expect. Those are your competencies. And identify what they look like in action. Those are your behavioral indicators. They show what proficiency looks like with each skill. So here's an example. Maybe you want your leaders to be more adaptable to change and to help their teams navigate change too. So you identify adaptability as a key competency for your leaders. Great. Now, what does that look like? How will you know when they are being adaptable? Maybe it's that they are testing out new ideas and new approaches in their work. They're trying things. Maybe it's that they're able to remain calm when things are unclear or ambiguous, right? That can get some people in a frenzy, right? So maybe they're able to remain calm, and that is an indicator. Maybe it's that they are adjusting their team's priorities or resources, deliverables, timelines, whatever it is, based on those changing needs. And so their adaptability is really practical. Whatever adaptability looks like in your organization, that can be defined really clearly in your competency model. And now everyone knows what that expectation is. And you can build that into your hiring practices, your goal setting, your leadership development initiatives, your performance evaluations, and lots of other places. I create competency models for nonprofits, so I have quite a few podcasts on the topic, and I'll drop those in the show notes if you want to learn more. Maybe you've decided that unclear expectations might be the issue in your nonprofit. Go check out those episodes to learn more. Now, another reason your leaders might be lagging a bit behind is lack of training or professional development. So let's say expectations are clear, you have those set, and they're still not quite meeting that expectation. It could be this lack of training or professional development that's the issue. Your leaders need to have the opportunity to attend training or professional development. It might be training you create. This happens a lot in larger nonprofits. It might be training you purchase and provide from larger vendors. This also happens. It might be professional development, like a stipend that you use and you provide to your leaders. Whatever it is, it should be tailored to those skills that you identified as important. If innovation isn't important, you most likely won't spend time and money developing an innovation training for your leaders. But if collaboration is important, you'll want to make sure you're building those skills. And training is a great way to do that. So what do you do if you found your leaders are experiencing a lack of training? So that's the issue that you've uncovered. You have a few options. The first is the professional development stipend. So you can provide the stipend to your leaders and say, go find professional development that will help you develop in this way. This is great because it gives them autonomy in how they use the funds. But it can be challenging to make sure what they spend that money on is aligned with the skills you need them to have. Do you wish you could connect with other nonprofit learning and development leaders? I know what it feels like to want someone to bounce ideas off of and to learn from, someone who really understands you and your work. Imagine if you could have a simple way to meet people in the field, ask questions, and share information. That's why I created the Nonprofit Learning and Development Collective, where nonprofit, L&D, talent management, and DEI leaders can connect with each other quickly and easily in a virtual space. When you join this community, you will walk away with a new, diverse, and powerful network and a sounding board for your staff development needs. So if you're ready to exchange ideas and collaborate with your peers, come join the Nonprofit L&D Collective. The second option is an off-the-shelf product that you can bring in for your leaders. This is great because it's likely already been tested and has results, but again, it's not going to be custom to your organization. So it might not be exactly what you need. It might not have the exact proficiency or behavioral indicator that you're looking for. A third option, and my personal recommendation in most cases, is to create your own. Get your L&D team to work creating a custom leadership training or find a partner who can customize one for you. This is what my agency does, and we thrive in this kind of work. Now, let's say you've set clear expectations, so that's not the issue. You have a competency model, leaders know what's expected of them. And let's say you've trained them on those leadership skills, but they are still lagging behind a bit. Another reason this happens is that they don't have ongoing support and reinforcement. Change is hard for so many reasons. And if you're familiar with change management models, you know we have to share what the change is, why it's happening, how to be successful with it. But we also have to tap into their motivations and help them sustain the change. Our training isn't typically enough to change behavior on its own. Once they are back on the job, we need to provide ongoing support and reinforcement. if you find that this, the ongoing support and reinforcement piece, is what's lacking in your organization, here are a few things you can do. You can leverage a peer network so your leaders can rely on each other to solve those kind of on-the-job challenges that come up when they're back in their normal routine. You can provide a coach or a mentor to help them brainstorm solutions to the challenges they face. You can follow up with them after the training with reminder videos or resources or tips and tricks. You could offer incentives as they make the change. You can make it fun. Maybe there's a challenge, or you've been able to gamify it in some way. These are all ways to help provide that ongoing support and reinforcement that's often needed. Now, if you have clear expectations, your leaders have been trained, and you've been intentional in that support and reinforcement, and you're still not seeing results, let's consider another reason why their skills are lagging behind: stress and burnout. Worker burnout seems to be at an all-time high. Gallup did a study and found that of their respondents, 52% reported they had experienced a lot of stress the previous day. Gallup also found that managers, your leaders, were more likely to be burned out than non-managers. They are feeling the impacts of stress and they are burned out. So what do you do if you find that stress and burnout is the real issue? Take a step back and help your staff implement some stress management techniques. One example is encouraging short breaks throughout the day. If you found that stress and burnout are impacting your staff, I have two episodes I want you to jump over to. The first is Dealing with Corporate Burnout, One Easy Way to Manage Stress as a Nonprofit Leader. I had guest Jessie Pagliari on the show, and she shared some amazing information about stress and burnout, how it's impacting your leaders, and what you can do about it. The other episode I want you to check out is Why Well-Being is the Secret Sauce to Change Management. And on that one, I had guest Mandy Sharp-Eisinger join and talk about well-being and rest, and what are some ways that we can make sure our leaders are getting the rest they need. These episodes both provide some essential insights for burnout in the workplace. All right, one final reason your leader's skills might still be lagging: it could be barriers outside their control. Sometimes we have systems or processes in place that actually prevent our new expectations from succeeding. Let me give you an example. I was driving to drop off my youngest child at daycare recently, and the roads were completely blocked off. Now, let's say that was part of my job, dropping off the child at daycare. And let's say the expectations that I was given said, drive the baby to daycare, park in front of the daycare, carry the child in, return to the car parked outside of the daycare. Clear expectations. I understood those expectations. Maybe I even had the training I needed. So I had done some practice runs with maybe another parent also at the daycare. I knew exactly what I needed to do. I was capable of doing it. And maybe I even had the support and reinforcement I needed. Maybe I had a map of where I was going and where to park. And I wasn't feeling stressed or burned out because I was feeling really prepared. And as I'm driving along, I get to my turn where I need to turn onto the street that daycare is on, and it's blocked off completely. Can't get through. Now what do? I can try a different path, also blocked. What now? Maybe I can park on a different street and walk farther. And that would work, but the expectation was to park in front of the daycare and carry the child in. So an external barrier prevented me from meeting that expectation. It was outside my control. I couldn't have prevented the city from blocking off that street right when I needed to be there. So that's what I mean by external barriers. And while these barriers are often outside of the individual leader's control, there are times when the organization can address them. There are times when we can change a process, where we can reimagine a system. It's complex, but we can do it. And we can set our leaders up for success. All right, those are the five reasons your leader's skills might be lagging behind. The first was unclear expectations. The second, lack of training. The third, lack of ongoing support and reinforcement. The fourth, stress and burnout. And the fifth, other barriers outside of their control. If you feel like your leader skills are lagging behind, do a little investigating to find out why, and then work to solve that particular problem. If you want someone to guide you through this process, but you aren't sure where to start, schedule a call with me and we'll talk through what you're experiencing so you have a clear picture of how to move forward. I'll drop my link in the show notes. And I'll see you next time on Learning for Good. Hey friend, was this episode helpful for you? Did you like what you heard? Do you want more content like this? Here are three things you can do. Hit subscribe. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Share this episode with a colleague. This means so much to me personally. I read every review, but it also helps me learn what content you like most so I can create more of what you want. All right, turn that Teams or Slack chat back on when you're ready, and I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.